When you wake up, well, you know I'm gonna be the one who's talking out to you. When you go out, yeah, you know I'm gonna be the one still talking out to you. When you're driving, yeah, you know I'm gonna be the voice that's whispering to you. And in the bathroom, yeah, you know I'm gonna be the voice that helps you in your weak and need to poo. 'Cause we have got 500 shows, and we will make 500 more, just to be the freak show podcast that you can't escape wherever you go. When you're listening, yeah, you know you're gonna be the one who's dropping bits for me. When you're laughing, yeah, you know you're gonna be the one who tells your friends of me. When you're subbing, yeah, you know you're gonna be the one who's subbing on to me. And at breakfast, yeah, you know you're gonna be the one who's passing all the syrup over to me. 'Cause I will eat 500 pancakes and I will eat 500 more, just because we have a lot of pancakes here to eat and we're making more. It's high, dude. When you're lonely, yeah, you know you're gonna be right here and listening to me. When you're dreaming, yeah, you know you're gonna be the one who's dreaming about me. I am Joe Cam, and you know we're gonna laugh and fart and make shit up and do it on the fly. Yes, I'm Joe Cam, and you know you're gonna be the one who's listening to my show until you die. Look outside your window, there I am, please wave hi. 'Cause we still have a ton of pancakes and we will have 1,000 more, just to eat 1,000 pancakes and fall down in front of your front door. Way more codes and have a blast, just to be your favorite show about games and cats. We are the SML Podcast.
Shut the fuck up already! Jeez!
So now that we have your attention about all of those pancakes, it's time for us to eat some fucking pancakes. Here we go. Alrighty. Yeah, there it is. Wet fucking pancakes, man. Alright, here we go. Oh, that's the shit. Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, hell yeah. There's one pancake down, baby.
Ooh. What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe, and welcome to episode 500 of the show. Insert applause here, as you could tell by the giant intro from Norg. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm fucking dandy. How are you, Joe?
You're fucking dandy.
Fucking dandy. 500 motherfucking episodes.
Yes, 500.
And I wasn't even here for all of them, but I'm going to celebrate like I was, so fuck y'all.
We are not alone, though. Anytime we have special occasions on the show, we bring in some of our favorite guests. Mike Micah, Adam Rippon, how are you two doing?
Still just trying to figure out how I lost this bet, but 500, wow, it's been a while. When did I first come on?
And this, oh, God, I don't know. It feels close to like 90 or something.
Yeah, I was going to say it was the pre-100. I know that.
I think I was on for 49, something like that.
I could try looking and seeing by episode title. I don't know if episode titles will help me or not.
You didn't think that far ahead, probably. Did you
title these things?
Yes. Adam,
you just recorded them and then deleted them.
Adam, you were on 51 because it's called Dragon Fantasy Pro Bass Challenge.
Whoa. So then what was my first one?
Oh, I don't fucking know.
So that's how much I mean to you.
And which episode was the one where we covered when Adam finally brought Dragon Fantasy to Xbox?
Oh, God.
Oh.
743, I think.
Yeah, still counting.
Sounds about right.
Adam's grabbing pizza. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
We had pizza tonight too. I was like, no, I have to podcast. I'm not gonna cook. Go to town.
Caesars for like one of the teams, so I'm eating it because it tastes deliciously ghetto.
You know what happened was earlier we're talking about pizza and somebody mentioned Little Caesar and everybody was like totally shitting on Little Caesars and I was like, whatever. They're all saying Domino's is better or whatever. So I'm like, I'm going to go get some Little Caesars and I'm not buying any for any of you fuckers. So, but then I got guilty on the way there and I ended up buying a bunch of pizza for everybody just because like I knew if I put it out there, they'd all eat it despite them thinking Domino's was better. And they did. Yeah, Tom Russo even had a slice. He just shouted out from across the room.
I used to work for Domino's. I would eat this a million times. No problem.
Yeah, we have a Domino's in town. We usually order from them every now and then. I missed that in celebration of episode 500, No Time for Games just dropped 500 biddies. So, Norg, take it away on that one as soon as it...
dropping bids!
There's a sound clip that plays. Unfortunately, I can't play it through the call. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to make that work.
We have to just pretend like we heard it, but we didn't.
Okay.
So for us, it'll be a couple seconds of silence. No, I can't hear you chewing.
Okay, good.
Now I want to get some more pizza.
Still can't hear it, Adam.
No, not coming through.
What?
That is good. You have good manners.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you guys been up to? Mike, I know you recently confirmed iDarb 2 is happening.
Yeah, that was one of those things where you just make up spur of the moment when you're at E3 and you're just like, maybe we should do it. And then we just announced it and now we have to do it, which kind of it's how you usually roll with these sorts of things.
Everybody here was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, you know what? I got all this flack when I got back because they're like, why didn't you tell us you were going to do it? And it's like, because I didn't know when I left. But here we are. No, we've been working on it a little bit here, and what we're really doing is we're focusing on getting kind of the whole back end to the game, like the networking back end, all sorted out. Because the last game, it was kind of we put networking into it at the last minute, which is the worst way to possibly do it. We had no plans of really going online with it, and then it was like everybody wanted online, but it was kind of like it was a half baked online experience. So this time around, we're going crazy with it. So now it'll be cross-play across multiple platforms, and any single user can hop into a game with seven other people, no matter what they're on, and join games and all that stuff. So it'll be pretty fun.
Oh, so you're going multi-platform with this one?
We are, and I guess I'm really not supposed to announce the platforms yet. I guess I have to coordinate with people now, which kind of sucks. But we'll be on a lot of platforms.
See, I Xbox, though, right?
Xbox, for sure, because it's Xbox and Xbox Live is its thing. So wherever Xbox Live likes to cast itself, that's where we kind of go.
No PS4.
But yeah, that's probably the easier way to put it. Well, at least not for a while. Like, the plan would be to be on everything.
Yeah, I hope Sony gets their shit together. This whole, you know, we'll pick one game here and one game here is kind of dumb.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I understand why they're doing it and where they're coming from. They're late to the party on it. And, like, they weren't really invited to the party originally and also, so it's like pissy little neighborhood antics with the kids, right? So it's that's kind of what they're going through. But yeah, we're doing that, and I've been doing a lot of other things with I've been doing a lot of game stuff. We're doing all the digital clip stuff and working with Adam on a bunch of stuff. Adam's working on a really cool thing I wish we could talk about right now, but imagine digital clips. We're doing a lot of projects, and he's actually doing two, but he's focused on one right now, but it's a lot of back and forth, and he's been really busy. And Danelle, his wife, has also been very busy on these as well, and they're doing some great work. And so it's cool coming in and seeing that stuff progress. And then I've been doing a bit of, since we last talked, I've been doing a lot more television and film projects too. So I'm working on a big budget video game based film with, I can't say who, but it's a big production company and some good people, and it's awesome. And I've never thought I would ever be working on something like that. So I've been working on a bit of the story and production design and all that stuff. And then also an animated show, that's going to be announced, I think, next month, if all goes well. So that's going to be pretty cool, and I'll be able to talk about that a lot more, too.
Yeah, so you guys have a lot of shit in the works, and you're not allowed to talk about any of it.
Yeah, it's that thing. Other games, like iDARP, too, it's like, yeah, we could talk about all that stuff. Like, we talk about what we want to do there, which is, like, everything. But then when you're working with other partners who are like, we have to control the PR and the marketing and how this gets messaged and all stuff, and you're just like, damn it. It's cool stuff, though. The video game stuff, it's like, for the movie type things, just imagine, you know, those like paleontologists that worked on Jurassic Park that were consultants. That's kind of like what we've been doing a lot now for movies, where there's been so many missteps in movies where it's like, hey, what is it like to be a computer hacker? And they're doing stuff from like the 80s where it's just like you see like big 3D things around. They're like flapping their fingers all over the keyboard and it's somehow programming.
This is the Unix system. I know this.
I know this. We're kind of coming in and going, yeah, it's not like that. And then we help them find creative and fun, cool looking ways to do the same thing, but be authentic. And that's been a lot of work.
Damn, that sounds interesting as hell, though.
It's super fun. And you end up like taking calls from like people you thought you would never talk to in your life. And you're just like, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. Or missing calls in my case yesterday, where it's like, I was too busy backing up video games to realize that the director of this movie, who's like super well known, was trying to reach me because they were having a problem on set. But I'm like, I'm backing up PlayStation games. So it's post pictures.
Oh, man. I want to know so much more about this, but you're not allowed to talk about it.
Mike's missing a call is probably.
You won't tell anybody if you do talk about it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's if I'm supposed to keep a secret and not everybody hear it, this is probably the best place to talk about it then, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Literally just us and 34 of our closest friends. Wow.
Yeah, I would say no one usually listens to us, but it's our 500th episode and there's like people in our chat for once, and we're doing giveaways and all this other stuff. So there actually are people listening for once.
That's fucking weird.
I mean, I know.
They might have us muted.
Possibly.
They might just be watching Carmen.
You're just happy they showed up. That's really what it is. Like, they showed up. The account is there.
But they are here.
They might be four of your browsers open on another PC.
Yes. No, my PC can't run that. Are you crazy?
Yeah, it crashes when you open two.
It's Mike Micah, computer. Mike Fika? Yeah.
And Mike Micah fan.
Yeah. Don't tell anybody that there's an Eternal Rage fan in the chat.
Really?
No, there's not. Literally fucking nobody's here for me. Do you hear this voice?
No one's here for me either. Everyone is here for the guests and for the codes.
Yep. Where's Ian? Oh. Ian's the only person that comes to actually listen to me anymore because he just needs to make fun of me.
Yeah, he can just make fun of your voice the whole time.
Yeah. He types everything I say phonetically.
But it seems like you guys have been doing great and you're 500 episodes in, which is an amazing milestone. So that's actually pretty awesome.
That's like 498 more than I ever would have imagined.
I mean, I remember vividly being on the final episode.
Yes. Yes, you were. Episode, what was it? 110 was the final episode when when Chris decided that he had real life to take care of and he had to stop the show and I didn't have anyone to do it with. So we're like, all right, I guess we'll stop the show. And then 3 months later, we're like, we're back, bitches. It was a long hiatus.
It's all good. And like, so tell me, like, what's, I want to know more about where the show's going and what's been going on.
We've kind of shifted from friends just bullshitting about games to a lot more focus on like weekly news. We have a lot of reviews that we do.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we're more, I don't want to say legit, but legit-ish.
Oh, that's awesome. I don't know if I can be on here then.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I guess I gotta go.
No way. You guys helped make us legit. Like early on, no one gave a fuck about our show and you guys were like, yeah, we'll come on and we'll chat with you and we'll give you a chance. So you guys have been awesome to us, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. It means a lot to me that you guys were able to make it for this episode. I love having you two on. Sad Bob couldn't make it. We need to get him back on one of these sometime. But
I think that's his new nickname is Sad Bob.
Sad Bob.
Sad Bob couldn't make it.
Sad Bob. Womp womp.
Yeah, I think let's put that into production. Let's make that his Slack handle or whatever.
Well, it's kind of tradition now. Like we show up and Bob can't, and that's kind of our thing. That's our shtick.
we've established that Bob is real, right?
Like, not really.
I mean, we've heard a voice on the show, but I can't verify it's him.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen Bob in person for like a decade. So it might just be like a script or something that somebody put together.
He's still that tiny little boy you met years ago.
He's forever young.
Forever young.
Now, we really need him now because he'd start singing it in his beautiful voice.
Oh, yes, he would. Well, I can confirm Bob's back for iDarb 2, which is great. He's already been kind of tackling some cool ideas and everything like that. So it's going to be cool. It's going to be iDarb times two, believe it or not.
Ooh. What does that entail? Does that mean more mini games, more players?
Yeah, so that's balls? What we're going to kind of do. What we're going to do, yeah, a lot more. Jeez, we got to hire different kinds of people. we're going to do kind of the promise of the original game too, where I think the best approach, really, we're going to open up a Discord. We're going to have an exclusive area where we're going to be pushing builds of the game for people to be playing and contributing to as we go. So it's going to be another, let's build iDarb again, but let's build it all together again and see where this thing goes. And so there's going to be more iteration on it, more just like crazy ideas coming into the mix. Like we're already looking at like what's player control going to feel like in this game? What kind of physics are we going to have so we can kind of take it a little bit further, do things like tricks and all that kind of stuff, hopefully. And because the game, as we learned once it got out there, is one of the things people loved about it was showboating in the game and doing all stuff to kind of like show off. So we want to kind of go further with that and sort of stuff. So it's going to be fun. I just look forward to it because it's such a fun game to work on originally. So I just want to do that again.
Yeah, it was a fun game to play, too.
Turns out, which was shocking.
Why do you say it was shocking?
Oh, just because of how it all really kind of started. It was really just like this dumb idea, and then more dumb ideas and more dumb ideas. But turns out, when you have so many dumb ideas, it can be something cool. So it turned out pretty good.
I mean, it did well enough that you supported it with DLC, so...
Yeah, and that's the other crazy thing is like how many people came to support the game really? Like we had the guys who created The Walking Dead gave us their IP to do as a DLC. We had He-Man as DLC. We had like all these crazy teams from all these different games that were amazing that just got came in, like Dragon Team Fantasy.
Woe Dave.
Yes. So like all these it just all came together. It was really cool because it felt like a big team effort. So I want to get there again. And that's kind of what we're doing. And there's already other developers have already jumped up and said they'll definitely give us IP rights to do things and all stuff. So it's like, this would be really cool.
Oh, you know, I just thought of this, but like Jason Cirillo, who created Woe Dave when I worked at Choice Provisions, he works here now.
Yeah.
But he can make some crazy friggin' mini games for this thing.
Oh, hell yeah. And there's a reason we got him learning our tech.
iDarb 2 featuring Dave Lownuts.
Dave Lownuts. So, Adam, since you're here, I know you don't have too much time to be with us, but I need to know, Dragon Fantasy, what's going on?
So, a funny story. I am working on the engine for it. Actually, I think I've told you numerous times that like every game I've done in the past 10 years has been the Dragon Fantasy engine. But I'm helping out some friends in Japan on a new RPG using that engine. So the odds of me doing Dragon Fantasy on Xbox are pretty slim, but the odds of me doing this next thing on Xbox are pretty much 100%.
Well, that is good.
Yeah. So you'll get something. I'll put in a boss battle bass bottle for you.
Bass bottle.
Bass bottle.
19.
Bottle. Yeah. Bass boss battle.
Fancy bass challenge or whatever.
So the nail's officially in the coffin for Dragon Fantasy on Xbox.
I never say never, but like I don't have any more Dragon Fantasy juice in me until I find a big sack of money that I can label Dragon Fantasy 3. And then
I basically at this point, Dragon Fantasy is like Dark Crystal. Nobody will ever make a sequel to that.
Yeah. I got 21 bucks in my pocket, Adam.
Aren't they making a sequel to the Dark Crystal? Like
yes, that's the joke.
I just wanted to make sure because you know, you and I have a long history with Dark
Crystal. That's the funny part about it. It's like we would be the last people to think they would do a sequel to Dark Crystal because every time we had a game we wanted to do that Adam was doing a brilliant RPG for on Game Boy Color. It was beautiful. It was awesome. And we went and met Brian Froud, and then he was just kind of like, "Yeah, too bad it's never going to happen." And then it got canceled.
Yep.
Like, "Why you created Dark Crystal?" It's like, "Too bad it's never going to happen." And he was right. And then he said nobody would ever make another Dark Crystal thing. And now he's working on Dark Crystal.
So it's a happy ending.
That game, like most of our unreleased games, we have somewhere, but we don't have that one.
We don't have that one, and it's been looking for
years.
Yeah,
like
that means though that you can try again with it, because clearly, there's a chance in hell now.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah,
Brian Froud's rule that there would never be another Dark Crystal. He broke his own rule. Yeah. So your rule, Adam, can be broken with Dragon Fantasy.
So what you're saying?
Out of excuses.
I should get Brian Froud to do Dragon Fantasy for Xbox.
That is exactly what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah. we should pitch to Netflix Dark Crystal Game Boy Color.
We should.
Dark Crystal Game Boy
Color. And they're like, we'll be like, because we were working on it. And they're like, well, can we see it? And we're like, no, because we lost it.
We've got somebody found some art from.
Yeah, I've got some art because was it Tyler or who was it? No, it was Ryan. Ryan up in Vancouver. He did the art, and he did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, like we could just slap it back together. It's not like I was 19 at the time. I wasn't like a genius programmer or anything. I was just doing reasonably good work.
Arguably your best work, but whatever. Neither here nor there. All of us were doing our best work back then, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Just because we didn't know the boundaries. Now, like, we're all jaded and old, and we're like, nah, can't really do that. Can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can do anything you want, guys.
Stuff, but we've done this so many times. We don't need it.
Well, we don't need to because it precedes us, so. Now we're those guys. If we talk about our greatest achievements, we just sound sad.
Yeah.
No, you could talk about Little Nicky all you want.
Shit.
What'd you say, Adam?
I said we could talk about our worst shit instead of our greatest achievements.
Yeah, let's hear it. What's the worst game you guys have made?
Little Nicky.
The quickest one we ever made was that Evolution Game Boy Advance game.
Oh my God, that was Dumbfest. You know it's bad
for the movie Evolution?
Yeah, for the movie Evolution. Oh, the God. David Duchovny Ghostbusters-y Aliens ripoff thingy.
I love that movie.
It's not a bad movie, but the game, I don't know if the game's bad or not, but we built it in 8 weeks. I didn't work on it, so I'm just insulting somebody else, but it couldn't be good, right? It was 8 weeks.
No, you know what? I went back and played it, and it was not bad.
Oh, but wow.
We were so hard on ourselves back then on our games, so it's like you go back and you play some of them, you're like, it's not bad.
Yeah. I had a full head of hair the day I started here, and by the time I was 19, I looked like this.
Oh, Jesus.
I actually have not aged a day since then. the body that I've had for 20 years.
But Adam, you've worked on so many games. Like, you could think about it. Like, you worked on Spyro. You worked on all this stuff that it was just like, when you think back on those days, we're working on so many games in a year. Like, at least, like, 20 games in a year, which was nuts. And, like, one way or another.
I've tried to add up all the games that I've worked on before, because I know it's, like, it's well more than 30. Probably still less than 50, but, like, because, I mean, there was the chunk of Game Boy stuff we were doing where we were making games like crazy. And then when I worked in
all the mobile games for
Sumeya in Finland, and I worked on like 20 J2ME games. And, you know, it's a huge number. And like, I'm proud of like four of them.
Yeah, exactly. You sort and you see the ones you should be proud of are in that like top 10 category up there. But the 300 other ones are all kind of here and there.
The Spyros, technically I worked on Rayman for Game Boy Advance. I did the sprite library for that, I think. That, you know, that's pretty cool.
Nice.
A couple of Dragon Fantasies. Whoa, Dave. The Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection. Yeah. My God, that gets me into parties, dude.
Like, really?
Yeah. I got a call from somebody who is a noteworthy video game person, and they were like, dude, you worked on this? And I'm like, yeah, I worked on that. And they're like, that's awesome. You should come over. We're going to play it. I'm like, I'm really bad at Street Fighter. You know that, right?
You know, that's one of the things you don't think about. Like, if you're not doing game development, one of the worst nightmares for game developers is, like, you get invited to do some sort of show or something, and then they, like, just throw at you, like, hey, here's your game. Show us how you play it. And you're like, oh, God, I'm terrible at every game I make.
Yep.
And it's the most embarrassing moment. Usually I will just be like, you know, kind of whatever, and just like talk my way out of it and just like kind of just browse the menus and try to do everything I can to not get into gameplay.
Yep. Yeah, same. Like when we were working on WoDave, like the office high score was something like $2.50. And within like 24 hours of the game coming out, somebody had $9 in it. And now like the all-time high score is like 110 or something like that.
Jesus Christ. I can't confirm.
But like, you know, we thought like no one was ever going to hit $5. We made the best achievement. I think the best achievement was $10. And we're like, no one will ever get this. We're being total assholes. And then, you know, hundreds of people got it. Thousands, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I know WoDave ended up in the hands of like 250,000 people. But like, you know, a lot of them was free. But free with Xbox Gold or something. I don't know. But yeah. That's crazy. Like, people are so much better at video games than the people who develop them. Because we cheat. We cheat all the time. We just have cheat. You know?
Well, yeah, that's just it. You skip to the level you got to check out. You play through with unlimited health. And you're like, oh, this game's easy, whatever. And then it comes out. People are like, this is the hardest game I ever played. And you're like, well, I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Because you guys are dicks and you made it hard.
Yeah, that's exactly why. And you, the more you work on it, the better you actually get at it in the moment. And then, like, there's this guy who made this old game called Last Ninja. It was like a Commodore 64 game or whatever. And it's notoriously hard. It's one of the hardest games ever made. And he used to be in the day defending it constantly. Like, what do you mean it's hard? And he'd sit there and like play through. And then he went back and played it after like 20 years and hadn't touched it. He couldn't even get past like the first little rock you have to jump over. And he was just like, it was an awesome video. He's sitting there swearing and like freaking out. And he's just like, oh my God. Like, he's like, yes. Finally.
Retribution.
Yeah. Video game developers are basically dominatrixes. Dominatrixes. That's a hard word to say.
That would be phonetically spelled out in the chat.
Yeah.
I believe it's technically dominatrices if it's multiple. Like if it's plural.
Yeah. Probably makes sense.
Yep.
I don't want to talk about how I know that.
I like how you've been so quiet this whole time, actually, and then Dominatrix pops up, and you're right here.
Thanks for calling me out. Carnage spelled it wrong.
He's busy running contests. You can't expect him to run contests and spell things properly. That's a lot of work for one person to do.
Dominatrices? Dominoodles? Domino's noodles?
Domino's noodles.
No, Little Caesars noodles are better. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's true.
Does Little Caesars have noodles?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't think they have pasta of any sort. Probably for the best. It'd be pretty dry.
I couldn't imagine Little Caesars doing...
What, Little Caesars having pasta?
Yeah, I don't think...
They have wings. I don't think they have pasta, though.
Yeah.
Adam with a pen.
More in the house.
with the pen under your nose like that, you look like David Harbour from Stranger Things season 3. Now just start yelling right. at the
Let's
person
just start
you
my
love.
New Netflix show right now. I'm David Harbour. Look at me. No one can see.
That's episode one. You nailed it.
I'm entertaining an audience of 3 or 4, right? Look at my pen mustache.
I'm putting your pen mustache on stream. Where'd it go? There it is.
Where'd it go?
Peek-a-boo. There it is. It's gone. There it is.
Oh, this is the new low.
It's like entertaining children.
We are all morons.
What? Hey, I forgot. What did SML end up standing for after your contest a million years ago?
Which contest? The first or the second?
Oh, God, there were two?
Yeah.
I don't know. What did it stand for first, and what's it stand for now?
The original meaning for it was small, medium, large, because it was me and two other friends, Tim, who was tiny, and Bogue, who was medium-sized, and I'm the fat one.
Mm-hmm,
so it was small, medium, large. And then Bogue in like the first 10 episodes had to stop doing the show because his fiance got in a bad car wreck. Oh. So he had to switch over and
staying with.
Oh, she's fine now. They're fine now.
Great.
And they're married and they have kids and everything is awesome and wonderful for them.
And they never show up even for the 500th podcast.
I know. Really? Friggin' Bogue. He did congratulate us on Facebook though. So
well, that's good.
Let's go.
Yeah. And then, after that, we had a contest on episode 25 to rename the show, and it was retitled to Someone Might Listen.
That one I knew. Mm-hmm.
And then on episode 200, I believe, we did another contest to rename the show, and the winner was Scoring More Laughs.
Ooh.
Mm. So that's what it is now?
That was the winner. We still kind of stick with Someone Might Listen, because it's more fitting.
Yeah, I like that better.
Someone Might Listen.
No offense to the contest winner of episode 200.
I mean, they won a lot of shit, so I'm sure they don't care if their name is still used or not. They won a lot of shit.
It was a big-ass pile of video games, wasn't it?
Yeah, was. I think it was worth over $1,000.
Nice. Oh, man.
Nice.
It was insane.
I bet they played, like, 5 of them tops.
Probably.
Yeah, or, like, maybe all of them for, like, 30 seconds each. Whenever I get like a veritable shit ton of riches, you know, an embarrassment of riches, I never play anything. Like I got one of those Bit Boys. Have you heard of these?
A Bit Boy?
Yeah, it's like a little thing that looks like a tiny Game Boy. And it's an emulator system. And it came with a bunch of ROMs, which is totally illegal. I immediately discarded them because they were things I didn't really want to play that much. And all I've been playing on it is Lolo 3 for the NES.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. It's a great game. Have you played it?
Oh, I love the Lolo games.
Yeah. I really miss those. I really wanted to do a collection of those, but I think it's Nintendo who owns it and that's pretty hard nut to crack. But,
is it Nintendo who owns Lolo? I thought it wasn't it Hudson who made the games?
Or Hal.
Hal made that's right.
I think is probably wholly owned by Nintendo.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's a white whale for me though. You know, that and like Dragon Quest.
Well, you work in the video game industry. Hit up Nintendo, be like, hey, listen, I got an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lolo collection remastered.
I've been spending a bunch more time in Japan lately, so I might just go over there and hold a big stereo over my head outside their office and be like, "Lolo,
just come be on. Like, do you know who the fuck I am? I made Dragon Fantasy on your consoles."
Yeah, I mean, even in Japan, though, I get the damn Adam Rippon thing, you know, the other guy. So I could probably get in the door with it. I could probably get in the door.
It sucks now that he's announced he's doing video games, so it's even worse.
Really? Did he?
Wait,
No. He didn't. No. No.
Because if he did, that'd be great. He's actually a really nice guy, and I'd love to work with him on a video game, but he better work with me.
No, because if he did it, you knew it'd just be out of spite, because like, he has no other reason to do it.
Yeah, well, I'll start figure skating.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, you have to retaliate, and then it's just full-on war.
Yeah, I already got him beat in the eyebrow game.
Dang. Stop it, Adam.
You like that, don't you? No one can see this but you guys.
I had to shut it off.
All the listeners, had to listen to the sound of my eyebrows raising.
Boink, 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 boink.
I think you need a little WD-40 there.
I have to oil my eyebrows, or otherwise they start speaking. It's really weird.
Old age is a bitch.
Sure is.
Yep. That's what happens when you get close to 40, your eyebrows start squeaking.
I never developed the forehead wrinkles, but I think it's just because I have a fat, chubby face. Like I can.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't have forehead wrinkles, but I'm fat, so that's why it's like natural Botox.
Yeah, keeps it nice and smooth and pudgy.
It's all the rage in Hollywood to get rid of wrinkles. Wrinkles, just get fat.
Get rid of wrinkles.
The woman in my transport that had to ride with me to my doctor's appointment the other day, she goes, she says something about whittling, and I was like, it's an odd topic to bring up when we're stuck in the van, but sure. And then she goes, oh, you probably don't know what that is. You don't look like you're more than 20, 21. I was like, girl, my hair dye is pulling some heavy duty work right now. I'm going to stick with that brand.
And then it just went quiet.
Yep. Yep.
That was the end of the story.
Yep.
That's the good stuff.
Every now and then I just pop on with weird shit. And
yep.
We all just have back to talking about actual games.
Yeah, we all just have to sit here in silence contemplating our own mortality.
I've been doing that so much lately. Like, it doesn't help that my wife's grandfather just passed away. So now all I'm thinking about is death, and I can't get it out of my mind. What do you guys do to overcome that?
I mean, like, I just dive into it. Like, I have been spending all of my free time helping out my great aunt, who's going to be 93 really soon. And, you know, it's not fun. I mean, I love her, but, you know, it's no fun for anybody. Getting old is awful. Bring on the robot bodies. Bring on Elon Musk's brain net thing. So that we can just download ourselves and chuck these things, like crumple my own body against my robot forehead, throw it out, and get another one.
Well, like all these hospice organizations are like, we're going to buy VR for all these old people because it helps them because they can't get out. They can't do much, but they can get into VR. And I'm like thinking like all that VR porn that they're going to have to like, that they're basically allowing to happen. It's just ready to blow.
Stay out, nurse. I'm busy.
Yeah. Can I use your credit card?
I need extra towels.
Oh my god.
You
just can't see this. I just vomited in my own mouth a little bit.
You're welcome, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
We figure you have to leave soon, so we'll end it on a high note.
Yep. 54 seconds.
54?
Just yep. Because the gift shop turns into a haunted house doesn't mean that the amusement park shuts down.
There you go.
What does that metaphor mean?
You'll be thinking about it all night.
That's gonna eat its way into my brain. It's going to bore a hole in my head. And then I'm going to appear on SML again because I still have brain damage.
You're going to wake up at 2 in the morning and be like, that fucking metaphor, though.
That's the worst thing that's ever happened to me on this thing.
That's kind of, I don't know if I'm impressed or disappointed. Like, there's a lot of bad shit that happens on this show.
Yeah, there is. I'm kind of disappointed that that's the worst.
But I get to be the worst.
I've been very lucky. What can I say? You know? Nice to be cared for by you guys, watching out, making sure nothing horrendous happens to me. All right. There's my timer. Oh, I thought it was going to quack. It's just buzzing on my wrist.
Aww.
Guys, I love you. Happy 500th birthday. I'm going to go hang out with my wife, who's just turning 7,000. She's an ageless Time Lord.
Nice. Congrats on landing that.
Life to have,
yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. So, I'll see you guys the next time.
Say happy birthday to Danelle for us.
I will.
Love your kisses, Adam.
Oh, God.
I got horribly uncomfortable.
You did that.
I will take that. I will take that. Yep. That is on me.
That's what you got. All right. Catch you guys
later, Adam.
Take care, Adam. If he could figure out how to turn it. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, you just hit the helicopter sound.
Are hard.
Oh, man. So, Mike, I meant to ask before Adam left, but fuck him, he's not here anymore. SNK Collection. Whoa, tell us about that.
Here. Oh, Adam's just coming over here and disturbing us. Now. Oh, God.
You guys are together.
Oh, no, he just ran out now.
Throw something at him.
Adam. I'll throw Adam at Adam.
That works.
You said SNK Collection.
Yes.
What was it about? What was the question? Adam was just like jumping on me.
Tell us how that came to Xbox. Because I never expected that to come to Xbox.
Well, that was something. So SNK, they're a really good partner of ours. And the thing is, though, they usually don't publish on Xbox. And their partners that they work with don't really publish on Xbox. So when we started talking about doing that project, we were asking them if there was any chance it could get to Xbox. And they just had no plans. So we're like, what if we publish it? They're like, that sounds cool. So they actually let us go ahead and publish that game on Xbox ourselves. And so because it was going to be coming out a little bit later and that sort of thing, that's why we added Baseball Stars to it and did a little bit of extra work on it. But that was all on us. And we just want to make sure that we usually, if we put a game out there, there's always one person. If we don't put it on a platform, they're the ones crying all the time. So we're doing our job and trying to make sure it's on every platform.
Talking about, we would never cry about a game not being on Xbox. We understand the difficulties of porting to console.
It's usually just one button. You go boop.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. The port to Xbox button.
Mm-hmm. It's just a drop down and a mouse click. And
that's why I don't understand why Dragon Fantasy. It's so hard to get to Xbox.
If he was here, it'd be fun to give him grief because it just by nature of his code base, which is on Xbox, it just works on it. So it's just him and his philosophical problems with Xbox.
Oh, man, you got to force him to do it. It can't be that hard.
I know.
I mean, when Chris was on the show, he said to do it
and do the pottery thing and make him just press the button.
Yeah.
Whatever that song is, has to just start playing.
Press the publish to Xbox button.
Yeah, that's all we got to do. Like, and the thing is, like with Other Ocean and Digital Eclipse, we are publishers, so we could do that. And I've offered it to him. It's just a matter of him having time to probably do it. It's really the thing. He's been pretty busy. But that's the fun part. We're publishers now, so we have a slate of things that we're planning on publishing coming up soon. So we're going
to
do more of that.
Anything you're able to talk about? Are you working with SNK on possibly bringing more of their stuff over to Xbox?
We are doing they announced the Samurai Showdown collection. So we're working on that.
Nice.
And then there's another thing we're talking to them about right now that hasn't been announced. And then what we're also doing, we're currently calling it the Gold Masters series. But Digital Eclipse is going to do some spotlight titles. So we're going to find game titles that change the game industry and then put a lot of focus on that with video interviews and a whole bunch of background information, iterations of the game, so you get to see it from like its earliest form to its final form, all this cool stuff. And we just want to put a lot of focus on these titles that basically inspired, influenced the game industry. So we have a game that we're probably going to be maybe in PAX we'll be announcing our first one in that series. And we're trying to line up several more. So the goal would be that you would be collecting these Gold Master limited releases, and we'll go through like pretty much like early days from like early Apple II all the way up to games that may have come out a year or two ago.
So they're all games that are already out.
There are games that are already out, or they are games that should have been published but were canceled, but were pretty much complete as well. So we're finding. I've been spending a lot of time, and Frank Cifaldi, who's amazing at this stuff too, is like doing a lot of digging around and finding games that we, quite frankly, we didn't really know existed before. And as we've gone around and like we've been doing interviews, we've been doing a lot of video research and stuff, and traveling the world talking to different creators. And as we've been doing that, we've been finding out that there's games that exist that were nearly brought to market and for whatever reasons discontinued. Kind of like how Star Fox 2 was supposed to come out on the Super Nintendo, but the N64 was coming and they're just like, the game's done, but we're not going to publish it.
Yeah.
That happens a lot. And so now it's been kind of like our efforts to go out and try to find those games. I've been putting a lot of effort into that, and we're finding some crazy stuff. And some of the inbound collections coming up are going to have games that I think are going to shock people that they even exist. And these are games that are franchise titles that they're very familiar with, and nobody knew there was another game. And so it's kind of cool.
Man, now you have me curious.
I hate to interrupt, but Raider Biz dropped 500 bits.
500 bitties?
Yeah, Norg. So he needs some wet pancakes.
He does need some wet pancakes. So...
dropping bits! All over your fucking face! Wet pancakes!
There we go. Beautiful.
Our radio forefathers would never have seen this coming.
No, not at all.
The most adequate use.
They're rolling over in their graves right now. Like, what the fuck is wrong? What did we create? What have we brought upon the world?
Pancakes.
Who's the, I can't believe I'm spacing on his name. The guy who did March of Dimes, host, comedian. Oh my God. I'm terrible. Jerry I'll stop Lewis? Now. Jerry Lewis. Yeah. Jerry Lewis. Oh. Imagine if he could do that now with Twitch.
Oh my God.
Well, you kind of see what happened with the GDQ charity events. Actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Special effects.
The only thing is most people on GDQ aren't on the side making weird clown Hitler concentration Whoa. Camp movies. But we all love Jerry Lewis.
Yes, of course.
Oh, look, oh, man. I just killed the air, too. Jeez. It's contagious.
Talking about Hitler will do that.
Yeah, but there's a lot of Hitler movies coming up. Like, what's the big deal?
What is your favorite Hitler movie?
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord. Joe, change the code before you can.
Does the end, the last scene of Deadpool count as a Hitler movie?
Deadpool's oh, so good.
Yeah.
I don't like superhero movies at all. Like, I don't watch any of them. But I'd fuck Ryan Reynolds. With or without the Deadpool costume.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm there with you. There's a new movie coming out by Taika Waititi who did that latest Thor Ragnarok movie, and he plays Hitler, and he's an imaginary Hitler in a boy's mind. It was at like a camp or something like that. So, really? Yes, still making Hitler movies.
Oh my God, that sounds ridiculous.
It does look actually pretty good. And now, since 20th Century Fox got bought by Disney, it's officially a Disney movie.
So Hitler is a Disney princess.
He's definitely a Disney princess, I would imagine. I mean, the parks are probably already getting worked out for that. So if you just look around, you can get Hitler pins, and you can spot him usually around the castle and the what's that? The water rides. So there you go. Splash Mountain.
On the way to Splash Mountain, you just see
Hitler. Splash Mountain, just go get an autograph from Hitler and your princess.
Kyle. Oh, Lord.
This is why we will never be monetized. Like, we like to pretend it's because I say fuck within the first 10 seconds, but it's this.
Well, it's over by the Dole Whip, and so it's like, it's just a twofer.
We are a terrible show. We don't deserve to be around. How the fuck did we get to 500 episodes?
It's a miracle.
Carnage, SML 500, the one about Hitler.
Oh, Lord.
So if I didn't have a tradition of naming the 100 episodes just episode 500 or episode 400 or whatever, I would totally use that as the name for the episode, but...
The Hitler episode.
The Hitler episode.
I think at some point we have to take a break, and because it's the internet, we need to remember to say hashtag fuck Nazis.
Yes.
Absolutely. And continue on from there.
I think that's a given. Fuck enemy. Nazis.
You would think it would be, but YouTube's algorithm is a thing.
Yeah, that's true. And like 5 years ago, it would have been like, yeah, like of course you wouldn't even have to do that. But now we're in a world where you kind of have to make it clear and explicit.
I watch nothing on YouTube except for my cat is tearing apart the kitchen. What the hell?
All riled up over this episode.
Yeah, I watch nothing on YouTube except for like extreme far left feminism video essay bullshit. And yet I still get recommended shit by Nazis all the time. So.
It's because the algorithms are so broke.
Yeah, it does not care.
It's just like, oh, you're watching extreme stuff. Here you go.
Yeah.
And somehow old episodes of Jackass show up too. And you're like, God.
Yeah,
I've been getting a lot of Chappelle show in my recommendations lately. And I don't know why. But fuck me, I will definitely watch more Chappelle show.
Exactly. The world needs more.
I watch a lot of painting videos, obviously. And the ones that kill me are the paint pouring. Because, like, they're all like, oh, it's so satisfying. And I'm sitting there going, no, fuck you. Paint's expensive. Stop just pouring it out into cardboard boxes. It gives me so much anxiety.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I have two kids, 12 and 10, and Bob Ross is a big deal now. And that's like, every night they just want to watch Bob Ross episodes. And it always has the same formula. At the beginning, both kids are kind of like, oh, he's going to screw this one up. This one's terrible. And then by the end, my son's just shouting like, how? Every night. But that stuff's fun. It's just the wasteful stuff is not good.
I love watching Bob Ross, and like he'll have something looking perfect. And you're like, it looks perfect. It doesn't need anything else. And he'll put something else there. And you're like, why would you do that? You're just ruining it. That doesn't need to be there. And within 5 minutes, you're like, that needed to be there.
Yeah, that was the best thing he ever did.
You know that he'd paint the paintings that he was going to do on the show like 5 or 6 times? But really? When he painted it for the show, he would do it all in one take.
That's it. So he would do one that was at the beginning of the show, which was a version of what he would do again. And then at the end, he would do what he'd call a final painting that was intended to be sold or whatever, you know, for somebody to have. But the other two you consider kind of scratch, but they kept them all, and they're in some strip mall somewhere right now.
Yeah, they just have they're all just in cardboard boxes and shit stacked up. It's like they don't sell them, you can't buy them. They're just all there. There's like one or two out in the wild that he gave the woman that discovered him. She has a couple, and she won't turn loose of them, obviously, but the rest of them are just in cardboard boxes stacked up by the dozen.
I'm not a person that buys fine art or cares to buy fine art, but I would buy a Bob Ross because, like, that's fine art.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And a big shout out to Jesus album. Ninja, who just subbed to us on Twitch. So thank you for the sub. That's now awesome of you. Dropping subs.
That's one extra free sandwich from Subway, right? Don't you have a code for that?
That's not the kind of codes we got.
Just go to subway.com, enter code SML, and totally it'll work. I guarantee
it. And your credit card, and pick whatever you want.
Hashtag not an ad. I think I've got a coupon code for Hot Topic around here somewhere.
Oh, God.
Number one's on the kick right now. She's 15.
Oh, boy.
That's literally where all my free income has gone the last month, because we're getting ready for school to start back, and it's just like, she's like, I found school dresses. And I will give her credit though, she bought Chloe's t-shirt from Life is Strange, the one with the red circle and the raven. She flipped out when she saw it, and it was like, I was proud of her too, because it was like regular $30. She's like, it's on sale, I have to have it. It was $11.
That's awesome.
Ooh. So,
yeah, so if you're a size small girl, they still have some in stock, but if you're a fat ass like me, you're out of luck.
Yeah. Hey, I wear a 4 or 5 XL, so I know how hard it is to get shirts.
The problem with chick sizes is, like, they think that even when you're fat, you still want everything to stop right at your belly button, and when you're fat, you don't. You want to hide that shit. So I always have to buy clothes from the dude section. And then, it's a terrible tragedy. I mean, realistically, even if you're a plus size, they make big girl clothes. You could wear whatever you wanted. It's 2019. I don't judge.
No.
Joe might. I don't.
Totally. I'm an asshole.
I'm all like, you wanna flaunt around and I don't know, what was I wearing? Oh, I have a t-shirt that says Power to Females on right now, so that should tell you.
You're not wearing your SML shirt for the 500th episode?
I am not, but
you should not find the colors. Like,
I couldn't find it in the shelf, and I was like, I don't have time.
my whole wardrobe's just video game shirts.
I could have told you I was wearing the SML shirt. You would have known otherwise. Literally, well, I can't say nobody here has ever seen me. Stu has seen me, but nobody else knows what the fuck I look like in this chat, so.
Why start now, right?
Yeah, so I'm fine with that being the way it is. My kids are cute. Just imagine I look like them, only fat.
the early days of the game industry, you could go to events and they would always give out t-shirts, and like it started at XL and went up. Now, like, there's all these hipster developers and everything like that, and everybody's all healthy and stuff. So you go and it's like, damn it, like all these shirts are like mediums and stuff, and it's like, what happened? But like, I used to get my entire wardrobe from GDC, E3, and whatever events, because it's like there's t-shirts aplenty everywhere. Now I'm just kind of like, oh well, I wish I could wear that shirt. But yeah,
I got that game Generation Zero, the collector's edition that came with a t-shirt. I thought it would be an XL that I could give to my wife for her to wear. It was a medium. I'm like, who the fuck wears a medium?
Exactly. Turns out nerds aren't making games anymore either. So it's like everybody's all kind of like healthy and awesome. And it's like, geez, it wasn't bad enough. Like,
oh, man.
Fuck that. That sounds horrible.
It's the worst. They just want to get Jamba Juice and shit.
We don't even have a Jamba Juice out
there. We don't have that here either. What is that?
They mix anything, grass, whatever. It's healthy.
Grass and dirt. It's a milkshake.
A little bit of strawberry. Yeah, a little bit of strawberry. A hint. And then some weird like thing that's a booster for your mental whatever.
And you're like, oh. Carl in chat, who the hell wears a medium? Seriously, who wears a medium these days?
15-year-old girls. Something you
pin on the back of your jacket, maybe. As a patch.
Yeah. As a patch. Like, I can let my cats wear it.
Number one wears a small, and in some things, a medium. But, I mean, I should tell you something because she's a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah. That's the thing. Normal, like, my kids are all tiny. Yeah.
My kids are string beans. They're... Ugh. You'd think I don't feed them cheeseburgers, but, you know, clearly I eat plenty of cheeseburgers. Yeah,
to have that metabolism again would be amazing.
Well, my husband is stupid scrawny, too.
Oh, really?
And he got it from... they get it from him. They all look like him, but with boobs.
That's beautiful. So,
I tell him that too, and he just scowls at me.
Oh, man.
Ain't nobody could claim they weren't his.
But were they yours? That's the other question.
I mean, there are times where, well, see, like, cheese is my most favorite food in the world, right? Like, I love cheese. There is no such thing as a bad cheese. And then number one, won't eat cheese on anything at all.
My number one will not eat cheese either.
And I'm like, every time she does it, I just like wrinkle up my face and I'm like, they switched you at birth.
We don't understand.
And then I go, never mind, you look like your dad.
I don't know what happened. Like, my son won't go to birthday parties if they're going to have pizza and stuff. It's like, what's wrong with you?
Really? Pizza?
Yeah, he won't eat pizza because it has cheese on it.
Now, she will like for pizza, but like better. If I'm and she loves lasagna, but if you try to give her like a sandwich with cheese or a cheeseburger or chili cheese fries, she's just like, I will cut you down. And then I'm like, good luck, string bean. Arguments in my house are very interesting.
I can tell. Oh, no. People are talking about pineapple pizza.
Oh, God. What would we do?
I don't know. What's your thoughts on pineapple pizza, Mike?
Oh, is this going to be something that's going to haunt me if I say my true thoughts? Like, probably. I actually like pineapple pizza. I grew up eating pineapple and ham on pizza in Detroit. And it was on the menu at Little Caesars, so it was like a normal thing, apparently. And so when I got out to California and... They have it on, I guess, the California Pizza Kitchen menu or whatever. But I start running into people who are like, what's wrong with you if I ordered like a pizza like that? They're like, you're disgusting. And it's like, why such hate over the stuff? But I get it. I guess some people just don't see how that could be a good mix. But I don't know. Like, bacon and chocolate goes good together, too. I don't see people freaking out about that.
Bacon and chocolate. I've never had that.
They sell like candy bars that are like bacon inside of chocolate.
I've had maple and chocolate, or not maple and chocolate, but maple and bacon. And that's like a good combo.
That's a great combo, because like you would eat waffles with maple syrup and then bacon would inevitably be part of that.
Bacon in that shit.
But you should try chocolate covered bacon. It's fantastic.
I will have to try it. But you know what else we have to do? We have to say a quick thank you to Root Beer Is My Jam for dropping 500 biddies. So, Norg, take it away.
Dropping bits all over your pathetic face.
God, Mike, I wish you could hear them.
they sound beautiful in my mind.
Oh, you have no idea. Anything you can imagine does not come close.
Is this just like an afternoon in the bathroom recording sounds or what? Oh my God, it's true. That's the only way to explain that pause.
Well, when I first started recording the podcast, I recorded in my bathroom. It's the only place I could go to get away from my kids and my husband.
Oh, yeah. That's a safe place.
Normally. Aura Clea just dropped another 500 biddies. I'm running out of sound clips. I think I played all four of them already.
One up.
Dropping bits.
There, was that good? Cole, you've heard them before, you know.
It's suitable. It's not quite bassy enough, but you're getting there.
Oh,
you
I forgot.
Better every time you do it.
I forgot the wet pancakes. George you could handle that.
Wet pancakes!
We gotta ask Mike how he would say wet pancakes.
How would I say wet pancakes?
Yeah, like, but you gotta do like the scream and groan with it. Like Joe just did.
Oh, I can't do that. I can't.
Sure you can. You just don't want to.
No, yeah, I don't want to because inevitably, like, this stuff turns into, like...
That shit gets clipped, yeah. And then it gets put on Twitter, and then it never escapes.
I'm talking on some new trailer for a game we're working on, and then people remix it, and it's like, God, I shouldn't have done that.
That just sounds incredible, though. I don't know why you would be disappointed in that turn of events.
Our brand new video game,
Wet Pancakes! Wet Pancakes!
Mud Pies.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, so that always happens, so I've got to be careful. It's one of these things, too. It's like I'll do some of these, and randomly, like a month later, somebody's going to be like, oh, you were on this thing, or whatever. And it's like, yeah. And it's like, well, we're getting ready to put that trailer up where you're talking about whatever. And it's like, you sing. And it's like, no. Like, why would that be? And then, sure enough, it'll happen. And it's somebody else's problem, and they don't like it.
Yeah, it'll happen for sure. Wouldn't be me, though. I wouldn't be that guy.
Nah, wouldn't be that
guy. I would be.
For sure.
Do I sound not even bad to you, motherfuckers?
God damn it, Cole. God damn it. Oh, man. So what else can we talk about before
you... trash code off of there. Get that out of here.
Hey, we have PS4 games to give away, so we're going to give away a PS4 game. Mike, burn you can it. Jump in chat and get a PS4 game if you want.
Burn it down.
I got them all. I got them all. That's what I say. It's like somebody's like, here's a code. I'm like, oh, I got it. And it's like, well, the game's not out yet. And it's like, I think I got it. I've got too many games. The one thing about being on an Xbox is like, you just turn on the Xbox and you've got five more games for some reason. You don't even know how you got them. And so it's like PlayStation 4 is almost the same way with like when you're signed up for all that stuff. So it's like, I got the, Xbox Unlimited. Next thing I know, own 20 more games for some reason. And it's like, why?
Oh yeah. Game Pass Ultimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That Game Pass Ultimate thing, which I did the whole, everybody was like saying on Twitter, you need to go get like 3 years worth of Xbox Live because then you're only paying the same price for 3 years. So I did that. And sure enough, that worked. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. But yeah, I've got like 500 something games on the Xbox. My kids are spoiled and it's like all from codes and whatever. Things just show up. I don't need any more games. That's what I'm saying.
Everyone could use more games.
Unless you have Oculus Quest codes, because we just got one of those, and so now everybody wants games on that, and I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have any Oculus
codes. Do we have any for the Ouya?
No.
Rubier is my jam. It's going to cry because I made that joke. I'm sorry.
You want to know something sad? Is I was kind of like a true believer of the Ouya. I'm like, I don't care what people think. Like, this thing's awesome. It's like, I can only play Towerfall how many times before it's like, okay. You know, I guess I gotta give this dream up. But the idea was right, maybe. I don't know. Oh God, I killed the conversation again. I'm just trying to like support Ouya.
That's why. You started like being supportive of it rather than, I mean, root beer is my jam, and chat is probably sitting over there going, fuck yes, he understands me. And I'm just sitting here like blank stare.
You know, like those magnetic tops to replace the batteries in the controller, like a great industrial design, but it's a little cube. Come on, that's adorable. What's going on?
That's the reason we got like the Apple TV and the Chromecast shit now.
It's true. And then like, you know, the problem was like, not only was it a cube, but the cables had to go in a spot that the cube couldn't sit down correctly. There was so many bad things with that thing.
Yikes. I didn't know that.
It was messed up. Like if you, I talk a good game, but it wasn't that hot.
Yeah. I've never had an Ouya, so I cannot, I can't comment on it.
I kickstarted it because I was like, disruption. I'm into disruption. And then like I got it and I'm like, oh god, well, who wants this?
I disrupted. So what are you doing with yours now that the Ouya service is dead?
You know, long ago it just became like a main box. Like I just replaced the whole OS and everything in there and just like made it run arcade games.
Damn, nice.
And I don't know where it is now, but that's what it was. That's the purpose it was serving for a while. I remember we would do backyard. Like I had this old projector, video projector, and we would do a little backyard party. So it would be on that, and I would project games for people to play. So we could play games on this like backyard screen where we barbecued or whatever during the summer. And then I would go to VLC on it and then just play movies on it for the rest of the night or whatever. And so that's what it became.
Nice. That sounds awesome, actually.
It was pretty cool. And then that got replaced by a Raspberry Pi for $35. So it was like, oh.
So now what's the Ouya doing?
Now the Ouya, I don't know. It's out in the wild somewhere. Probably at a thrift store. I probably threw it away. Or
how could you?
I know. I kickstarted it. I have the badge. I got all that stuff.
Oh, my Lord. Well, I know we're coming up on an hour now. I don't want to keep you all night. It's been awesome having you on, Mike. I love having you and Adam on. It has been, like I said, you guys have been so supportive of my show, and I'm so happy to have you guys on when you're able to come on.
Oh, no, it's fine. And like you're family, Joe, so it's like it's always good to get on here and talk about stuff. And you know, we didn't even talk about we're working on that Medieval game for Sony, which is a remake of Medieval for PS1, that old PS1 game. We're remaking it and work with Sony Santa Monica and those guys on bringing that back. So that'll be coming out later this year.
So you've got that. You've got the Golden Collection.
The Gold Master Series, which we're going to be announcing our first title soon in there. We're working on the Samurai Showdown Collection. We're working on iDarb 2. if you follow me on Twitter, Mike J. Micah, you'll find out more about the feature film stuff I've been working on and the animation stuff I'm working on. Also, been trying to collect and save up and preserve a lot of these old games and game demos and stuff for PlayStation and all these old systems. Working with the Video Game History Foundation, who's always looking for more Patreons and all that stuff over there. So Frank Cifaldi of the Video Game History Foundation is doing the Lord's work, trying to save all these games that are pretty much getting close to bit rot and falling to the wayside that nobody's ever heard of or played before and all that stuff. And he's also collecting a lot of video game ephemera and materials, and he's creating basically the first research facility for video games. So that stuff's all been really good, and I've been helping out as much as I could there too.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to hear more about that though. When you're able to talk more about everything you're doing, you've got to come back on and talk with us and tell us everything.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about episode 500. It comes at a weird time. It's like, okay, I want to be on episode 500, but I can't talk about anything. But I think you guys, we will definitely talk about the movie because you're going to love it, and you're going to love what it's about and who's in it and all that stuff. So that's going to be really fun.
Is it Def Jam, Fight for New York, the movie?
God damn it. Why do you have to guess and I can't see? But that would be amazing. No, but it's not too far from a concept sort of like that. So, but it's really funny.
Death
it's
Jam
a company.
And Dark Crystal mashup.
Yes.
With Adam Sandler.
Straight to Netflix.
Stop guessing.
Now you have to change the movie.
Yeah. Now you ruin everything. Like I'm just going to throw it all away. But yeah, I want to come back and talk about that stuff and talk about the experience with all that and everything, which is really cool and fun. Kind of awesome. And I think what's really cool about that is I, like, from the outside looking at how movies have been made and stuff and being a big movie file for so long, cinephile, like, it's weird to actually get involved in it and be like, oh, this is this is great. And everybody's sitting there going like, well, this is a different case because like the people doing this are cool. You wouldn't see this on another movie. It's like, oh, okay, whatever. But like the stuff that they do and the amount of work that goes into it is just awesome. And to kind of be on the inside of that, it's really fun to talk about. So we'll do that soon.
Nice. You know, the door is always open whenever you want to come on and chat with us. So
sounds good. Sounds really good. And I think we need to have a full on, once we get IDARB 2 kicked off for people to try out and start playing around with, we should get a full on IDARB 2 with invites to getting into the development program. So that'd be really cool too.
Ooh, that'd be cool. Are you guys doing recipes for IDARB 2 again?
Yes. And if you guys have recipes, we need, because what we're probably going to do is film those in a studio, the actual making of the recipe.
Oh, that is awesome.
Wow. So we want to do kind of like a Julia Childs thing for that. And, so let's talk about it. If you want to do that, let's talk about doing that.
That is awesome. I will definitely shoot you an email.
Yeah, both of you. Like, if you have some recipes you think would be really fun to do and perform live, well, not live, record it for a video game, which makes no sense. Yes, let's talk about it.
I told you back on the first IDARB that my wife has some awesome chocolate chip cookies. I got to get her to actually make some and send them out to you.
That would be great. You know, it's pretty funny. When we announced IDARB 2, we've been getting all kinds of crazy stuff in the mail. So it's kind of cool seeing how excited people have been about it. So we get like food, we get clothes that people send. Those are the things. It's like, it's really awkward because you're like, ooh, they should have like at least put like dry ice in here or something. But it's like nice that everybody's like really getting excited for it. So, yeah, I would please send out cookies because we need to eat too while we're working on it. And
as soon as my wife's up, I'll tell her.
No, that would be awesome. But the last game, like you guys might know, Adam Silvers, he's an awesome dude that's out there all the time supporting developers and everything like that. And like we just had this restaurant come in called Smokes. It's a poutinerie. They do poutine, and he bought the whole studio poutine, and like I think three people got sick from overeating. And also, but it was like, it was the nicest thing, but like the next day, like people had to like call in sick and everything like that. It was awesome though.
That is beautiful.
We love those gestures. So anybody listening, feed us.
And where should people send their food?
Look us up online, digitalclips.com. You'll find out how to get us stuff. Or just DM me. I'll tell you where.
That works. Well, Mike, again, it was a pleasure having you on. Definitely keep us posted when you're able to talk about more stuff. And let's get you and Adam back on again soon.
Yeah, and Sad Bob. We'll figure out how to get
and Sad Bob.
All right. Thank you. Congratulations for episode 500. This has been awesome. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you have pretty yourself, a cool milestone.
It is. I never thought I would hit it. So, again, thank you for coming on for it. It was great. We couldn't get Chris here. He had a show to perform. So, hopefully, next time you guys are on, Chris will be able to join, too.
That'd be great. But, you know, if it's a choice between Cole and Chris, I'll take Cole, but...
I wouldn't want to listen to this voice.
Exactly.
He's just saying that because you're here.
No, you know what? That's a cool voice, and you should be doing voices for television. That's all I'm saying.
No, you could always right hire for a game.
Your voice is really close to the, I forgot her name. She does the voice for one of the characters in Bob's Burgers. She's
Kristen
awesome.
Schaal.
Kristen Schaal. Everybody says I sound like Kristen Schaal.
You do. And it's like, it's amazing. And that's a really unique voice. And like for animation, whatever, like that's a ticket. That's a hot ticket. All right, guys. Take care.
Have a good one, Mike.
See ya.
Twizzlers with the bits.
All right, let's play some biddies. Come on, Norg.
Drop in bits!
Yeah, drop in bits. Oh, man, that was fun as hell. I love having those guys on.
They're such lovely people.
They are. Man. So, yeah, episode 500 still going strong. We have a lot more show to take care of. A lot of news is going on. A lot of reviews we got to take care of. By the way, I forgot to check with you. What all are you good to do?
My book says, I am good. I can't even see because it's dark in here. Decay, Tropico 6, Redeemer, and Lost Orbit.
Okay, cool. I wasn't sure if you had the Keepers of the Void DLC ready or not.
No, because I had a stomach virus earlier this week.
Hooray!
And I was down, down, down. Like, lay in bed and cry and puke.
That sounds beautiful.
It was fantastic.
I have cats surrounding me now. What the hell's going on?
Mine tried to tear the kitchen apart earlier. Like, he's just,
That's because your cat's a Nazi sympathizer, clearly.
No, don't you say bad things about Gabriel. He is a loving, fluffy boy. And he's fat. But we don't body shame in this house.
No, no body shaming?
Nope. That, it's not like I started calling my daughter's rabbit butter butt or anything. Because that was a nicer way to say lard ass. That way, if number three repeated me, she would say butter butt, not lard ass.
Oh, shit. Cool JT. JT just dropped 500 biddies. So.
Oh, my.
Dropping bits! Ah! All over your fucking face! Ah! What? Pancakes!
Wet pancakes indeed, George. Man, there's a lot of bits tonight. Thank you, everyone, for all the bits and all the subs. I hope everyone is having fun tonight. I hope everyone's enjoying all the code drops. We've been giving away tons of codes. People, if you're listening to this and you weren't here for the show, you missed out big time.
Fuck you. No. That was unruly of me. How uncouth.
JT says he's not having fun. So, well, fuck you, JT.
That's okay. We can't all be amazing like me. I understand.
Very true. But we should probably talk about some news. I got a couple of things. Yeah, we should. We have more show that we got to take care of. We should probably get to it. This episode's going to be long enough, but the Xbox One is getting yet another new dashboard redesign that is hitting Xbox Preview Alpha and Skip Ahead users now.
I'm a little jelly.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, I think it's been a long time coming for a new redesign.
Really?
Like the last dashboard was not very well received. It's very cluttered. It's sluggish. It's a bit of a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
It had some interesting changes, like being able to set up groups and pin them to your home screen and all that.
Yeah.
But everything else is just like, there are days where I forget my Xbox is on just because the home screen goes black. And it looks like my TV turned off or something. And like, I'll get a invite to a party on the Xbox app, and I look over and I'm like, was that even on? And then realize that it was on. It's just the home screen's broken again.
Nice.
So it's overdue.
So what do you think of the redesign?
I like it a lot better. There was a video on Windows Central showing it off and seeing it in action. I'm a little iffy about taking away the carousel though, and like, for the sake of Mixer, I think a lot of people end up watching it more because they tab onto it on accident and it catches their eye, and then they're like, they get into watching whatever's on there.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that taking that carousel away and just boxing it up on the home screen where people have to click it to go to it is going to make less people want to click it.
Maybe.
So I kind of worry about Mixer in the long term. Like, the Mixer does fine, I'm sure. But I don't want to see it go under or suffer. Especially since they recently, Mixer recently canceled all their original programming.
Excuse me.
Yeah, they did the Mixer Red Show, the Mixer Green Show, the Mixer Blue Show. Looking for group, power builds, all of that. And they laid off their producers and their hosts and got rid of all those shows. And that was while they're still on the carousel. So it does make me worry a little bit as far as that goes. But, it's... Otherwise, I think it looks a lot better. It's a lot cleaner. You still have that ability to pinch it to your home.
Yeah.
And keep the stuff that you care about right there. So
I like the fact that it is quicker.
Yeah, that's so necessary.
I'm not in the preview alpha right now, but I'm really tempted to join it just to see how much quicker the new dashboard is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my system can chug sometimes because I have so much shit on it.
Yeah.
Like, I've just accepted that every now and then my system is just going to halt up and it's going to crash and the home screen isn't going to load and I'm just going to have to sit and wait for a black screen until I could refresh it. And I'm hoping that with this new dashboard that alleviates the issues a little bit. And again, this isn't an issue with Xbox necessarily. It's because I have, you know, 2,600 Rock Band songs and 2,600 games.
That'll do it.
Across four hard drives.
I mean, I've only got 900 games only. But I've only got like 900 games and it's still so ungodly slow. And every time I add a new game, I can't just click on my games and apps and see it there under ready to install. I have to go and refresh. Wait for it to reload everything. Refresh. Yeah. And it's like, for fuck's sakes, I'm never going to get this installed. I'm going to have to tell Joe that I'll review it in 3 weeks when it finally shows up under ready to install. So if it fixes that, oh, I will be dancing around the living room like the best that I can with my cane and everything.
See, when things don't show up for me and ready to install, I just wait. Because they'll pop up eventually. I don't try refreshing it constantly because I figure that might just slow it down more.
It probably does. Well, but you have, yeah, because you have all those, you have way more than I do. So that doesn't help either. And I do have the luxury of having the solid state drive, so at least refreshing isn't as slow as it used to be.
True.
But man, when you do it 742 times, it's a bit of a problem.
It can be. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I think the new dashboard looks really cool. I want to try it myself. They are also shifting voice commands to a more app-based solution and an external solution, and they are removing Cortana from the Xbox.
Don't you guys have phones? That's what I thought of when I saw that. Although realistically, I know that this is a good thing. I know we have lost many a Rocket League match because Studa, for whatever fucking reason, has the worst Cajun accent in the world. And he can say Eternal and it thinks he says Cortana and will pop up in the middle of the game. And then he's sitting there going, no, I wasn't trying to kick goddamn Cortana.
Yeah, I never
exactly what he sounds like for the record.
I never used Cortana. I tried it for like 2 days and it was slow and it has to connect to do anything. So I just went back to the standard Xbox commands. They confirmed that the original Xbox commands with a Kinect still work. Yeah. So thank God we have so little left the way it is. I hope they stop removing shit for Kinect people.
Yeah, you just want to like baby the Kinect.
There's so little. Just leave us our voice commands. It's all we have.
My kids still play with theirs regularly.
I think we have to get a new one. Ours hasn't been turning on lately. I think the Kinect might be bad.
Because the adapter
still lights up, so I don't think the adapter's bad. I just think the Kinect might be busted. Which shouldn't be too hard to replace for cheap. I'm sure and like $40 max it'll take, something like that.
I will say something about the Xbox skill for Alexa and the Cortana app on your phone or whatever. The Game Pass commands are so cool. Like, you can just straight up say, Alexa, what's on Game Pass this month? And it will tell you that you won't even need us anymore. Fuck listening to us to find out what's on Game Pass, because Alexa will just spout it right off for you. And it's like, okay, well, thank you. That is cool as shit.
Yeah, overall, it seems like a cool update, so I want to check it out.
Yeah.
What other news? Remedy's Control has gone gold, so that one is on pace to launch on time. That's exciting. Monster Farm, also known as Monster Rancher in the U.S., looks to be getting a remake of the first game set to release sometime in 2019. There were no platforms announced, but I'm guessing since it's been a PlayStation-heavy series, we'll see it on PlayStation. But some people think it might be a mobile thing, so who knows? We'll find out more eventually. But it's cool to see Monster Rancher come back.
I know nothing about this series. So
nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, well.
I'm sorry.
Some sad news. Defiant Development, the creators of the Hand of Fate series, are ceasing development of new titles.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's sad to hear. I loved the Hand of Fate games, and it is a bummer to see them shut down. So
maybe Xbox will save them. Xbox is on a roll.
Are they?
Although they didn't save Telltale, so. I don't think anybody could have saved Telltale.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Telltale just like saw the room was on fire and was like that dog sipping tea. And was like, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Far.
Yeah.
It's on fire.
What are you, Ian now?
Big Ben Interactive has acquired Spiders Games. Might know them from their work on Bound by Flame and the Technomancer and the upcoming Greedfall. I think it's very weird to see Big Ben pick them up because all of Spiders games have been released through Focus Home Interactive.
Yeah.
So it's weird to see Big Ben jump in there.
What else does Big Ben have?
Oh, God, they have a lot of stuff. I recognize it,
but, like, that's the problem. That's one of those where, like, you know they got a shit ton, but you can't put your finger on any of them off the top of your head.
I know they have WRC, the World Rally Championship Series.
Okay.
What else do they have? I'll just look them up now. BigBenInteractive.com. V-Rally, video games. Click on that. Come on. Who's a good computer? Big Ben does the Tour de France series. They're working on B-Simulator, Spike Volleyball, Warhammer Chaos Bane, The Sinking City that just came out, World Rally Championship. I mentioned those. So Big Ben has a lot of stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I still think it's weird to see Spiders jump over to Big Ben, but I guess we'll see what happens. FIFA 19 has been added to the EA Access Vault, which also finally launched on PS4 this week.
I wonder how it's doing on PS4.
I have no clue. They have like half the library.
Yeah, I haven't heard squat as far as like opinions from anybody about it.
I know. I think someone did a comparison where like the Xbox has 71 games and the PlayStation only has like 36, something crazy like that. Because so many of the games were backward compatible games.
Well, that sucks. And it's the same price.
Yeah.
Ooh. And they don't even have Game Pass either.
Nope.
Poor Game Pass. Bastards.
Last bit of news that I have is this is more related to my interests, but Slipknot's song Pulse of the Maggots has been FC'd on guitar in Rock Band 4. Making it the final harmonic song to ever be FC'd. It what took full comboed. That means that you started the song and you don't mess up at all and you hit every note.
Yikes.
So the only thing that's left is a full band FC of that song, which is going to be hard as hell to do because that's four people who can't fuck up. So that Pulse of the Maggots, just to get an FC on guitar, it took, I think, 11 years.
What?
For that song to be FC'd? Yeah.
Why didn't you do it?
Because I'm not that good at the game.
Poor shit. I've seen you stream it. No. Don't you lie at me.
You've seen me play on bass. You haven't seen Pulse of the Maggots guitar chart. Carnage saw it the other day. I linked him a video of Pulse of the Maggots chart. It's tough. It is really, really hard. But yeah, it's cool that it's finally been FC'd.
Crazy.
Yeah, pretty much. But that's the news I got. Anything you want to talk about?
No. I had something and then I forgot it, so I should have wrote it down, but I didn't because I was sick the other day. That's my excuse for all my failures this week. I was sick.
Good enough. Oh, man. All right, so should we dive into our reviews?
We shall.
All right. Well, the first one is actually a preview of Tropico 6, developed by Limbic Entertainment, published by Calypso Media, released June 7th on Xbox One Game Preview for $54.99. El Presidente is back. Prove yourself once again as a feared dictator or peace-loving statesman on the island state of Tropico and shape the fate of your very own Banana Republic through four distinctive eras. Again, this is a preview of the Xbox Game Preview version, so preview there. Cole, tell us about it.
Holy fuck, why didn't anybody tell me that this is what the Tropico series was? This is a micromanager to the most epic proportions ever. And I was in love. I like being a communist dictator. I like it a lot. So basically, the concept is, you are El Presidente, and you get to build the islands ever how you want. You can be a capitalist. You can be a communist. There's politics. There's war. There's even fucking pirates who can smuggle Stonehenge for you. And then Stonehenge. You get to build, so they go and steal Stonehenge.
That is beautiful.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I did not know I could have this much fun. Even though anybody that knows me knows I like these micro simulators anyway.
Yeah.
But I had like some kind of weird concept in my head for what Tropico was, and I had no idea it was this. And like, I start playing through the tutorial, and I want to point out the tutorial chapters took me 5 hours to get through alone.
Holy shit.
There is so much involved here, because this is the first game in the Tropico series that lets you manage multiple islands on one map. The other ones, which I found out through my research, because I am good at some things. The other games in the series only ever had one island as your map, and you just built your country up on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Tropico 6 has multiple islands. So you have to build different ports. You have to build, you can have one island that's just for your industrial shit so that it doesn't fuck up with the prettiness of your resort island. And you have to build bridges and ferryways for people to get over to these other islands. And then you can have pirates.
Yay, pirates.
I like the pirates because you send them on raids. it's so good. But then they start hollering for gold, and I'm like, no, that's your job, is to go steal it. Quit asking me for it.
Yeah, really.
Once you actually get through the tutorial and you understand all the ins and outs of how everything you do is going to affect something. And you have to, if you're new to this series, you have to spend that 5 hours with the tutorial. You should probably spend more time with the tutorial. Because even still, it doesn't do a great job of explaining shit that you would have learned in the other games, but that I hadn't learned because I hadn't played the other games. Nobody told me how to make steel in all of those tutorials. But no, all of a sudden the military wants to give me an ultimatum and say, hey, if you don't produce 3,000 weapons, we're going to overthrow you in a coup.
Oh boy.
I got overthrown in a coup is what I'm trying to say.
Proud of
because
you.
Because I didn't know how to make steel to make weapons. And then I thought, boy, I should have just paused and Googled that. But I lived with my decisions. And then I died because they killed me and it was cool. one of the biggest things about this game, if the insane amount of content as far as just like micromanaging everything goes, with building your roads, building your bridges, managing your resorts and all that, if that's not enough for you just to play as a sandbox, there are missions. And it is absolutely insane that there are 15 different maps with different scenarios for these missions.
So there's a lot to do.
15. They're all different. They all have different, goals. They all have different ways to play. Some of them you're trying to not piss off the communists. Sometimes you're trying to not piss off the capitalists. Sometimes you want religion to be a thing. Oh my God.
Speaking of oh my God, BX Latino Heat just dropped 500 biddies in chat.
Dropping bits!
So thank you, Norg. Anyway, as you were.
Yeah. So, before a game preview game, just not even a full release launch, like, I don't even know what they could possibly do to this. It played smoothly. I didn't have any issues with it. It's fucking gorgeous. I loved zooming in on the islands. There was one moment where I was zooming in to try to get a hold of a person because I had suspicions that they were a rebel. And I was going to send them to the asylum.
Nice.
Because that's what you do when you're a communist dictator.
True.
So I was going to send, I zoomed in super close because so I could click on this person to send them to the asylum. And I realized that running around in the background were wild llamas. And then I completely forgot about the person that I was going to arrest. And I just started following the llamas around the map. To the detriment of everything else in my country.
Carnage just subbed to interrupt you off stream.
Can I ban him? Please.
Oh, so anyway.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. Anyway. Insane amount of content. It played really well. I didn't have any problems with lagginess. Usually with game preview games, it's a little hit or miss as to what's going to happen with it.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes they play better or worse. This felt like a full release right out of the gate. The only thing that's particularly missing, so to speak, is that the multiplayer has been disabled. So I don't know when it will come along. I don't know if it will be online, or I don't know if it will be local only. I don't know how it's going to work, but is it mouse and keyboard? I do not know because I do not have a mouse and keyboard hooked up to my Xbox. So,
You were supposed to try it with The Sims.
I know it, and I have intentions of getting one, but I haven't had a chance yet because school shit exists, and I have to buy school clothes for kids. Yeah. So ask me after the school clothes thing in like 2 weeks. But, yeah, I had a good time. As far as the mouse and keyboard goes, that's always an iffy thing with these kind of micro sim games. Anybody that's heard me talk about playing The Sims knows that it was my biggest beef with The Sims 4. Now that they've added mouse and keyboard, it's probably not my complaint anymore, but they're binding to a key to the controllers was just fucking awful. And Surviving Mars was another one that I had so much fun with, but the binding was the learning curve for it was really steep. Tropico is a whole different story. Like, it is bound so well that I never once had any kind of trouble with clicking on what I wanted to get, even if I was trying to get the little itty bitty tiny people wandering around. It was not an issue. It was like, zoom in super far, click them, and go. And it was fine. So I was really happy with the way that the controller worked with it. That I didn't even feel like complaining about the mouse and keyboard aspect or to check it out. So I'll be happy, though, to, you know, take some time, plug in a controller sometime this week, and or plug in a mouse and keyboard sometime this week and update you guys next week on that.
Nice. Well, we will have more on this game closer to release, but for now, $55, is this worth checking out on Xbox Game Preview?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am blown away at how smooth it is just even being in preview right now. And there's just, I don't know what the fuck they're going to possibly add to it or do to it.
Multiplayer.
Because it's, well, beyond multiplayer. But like, I don't even want to play. I don't even give a fuck if there's multiplayer. I just could get lost for 3 million years with the pirates in sandbox mode. I just want to go steal Stonehenge again.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Redeemer Enhanced Edition. You might remember this from our interview about a month ago. Developed by Sobaka Studio, published by Buka Entertainment and Ravenscourt, released July 19th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $29.99. Brutal, bloody, beat-em-up action without compromise, a true resurrection of this popular genre. Kill your enemies using the most unbelievable methods, study your opponent's behavior, and forge your own path to victory with friends in co-op mode. Cole, tell us about Redeemer.
That sounds so much more in-depth than how I actually experienced the game. Like, I didn't learn anybody's shit at all. I just ran through and smashed X and Y and beat the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's a top-down beat-em-up. You can play it as a twin stick because there are guns. Like a twin stick shooter, I'm sorry. Because there are guns, but they're severely limited in the ammo department, even once you get upgrades. Do I need to stop for the sub?
Swizzlers just dropping a 7-month sub, so thank you, Swizzlers.
Get you some wet pancakes.
I love seeing all the little icons in the cup on stream just go flying. Yeah, I know. There's been a lot of drops tonight, a lot of follows, a lot of subs and bits and everything. Good it's night. Been an insane night.
Yeah, SML 500. 36 people watching us though.
Holy shit! Why?
Might be a new record.
Yeah, I think so.
anyway, Redeemer. Redeemer. Yeah. Speaking of Redeemers, so we play as a character named Vasily, who was previously a soldier. He's decided to give up his murderating ways. He becomes a monk. He's a pacifist. He lives in a monastery on the mountains. And then this evil corporation comes along and kills all the other monks. So, you're not a pacifist anymore. You get pissed off. You decide to get revenge on the company. And that's your entire experience with the game is just working your way through level after level after level, just literally beating the snot out of anything that holds still. The best part of that is that there are these intense Mortal Kombat quality fatalities. Once you beat an enemy down low enough, they get these little red skulls above their head, and that's when you can press B, and it just absolutely smashes them. There are environmental kills that you can use. Sometimes there will be spikes on a wall, for example, that you can push them onto the spikes, or you can slam their head into these rock pillars. You can pick up fire extinguishers and throw them at them, boxes, pull sinks off the walls and smash them. It's just, if you can think of a way to kill a person, this game lets you do it.
And it is beautiful. We talked about the violence on the interview a while back, and it is just so fun to watch and see these brutal fatalities and finisher moves, and it's just a bloody good time.
And you know the best part of it? It's incredibly easy to do it. It is. Usually when you have these kind of like beat-em-ups, there's some kind of stupid, god-awful combination you have to enter. Thank you, Mortal Kombat, for starting that bullshit. you have to enter some kind of insane combination to get a fatality, and so you don't even get to see like a fraction of them. This is just, hey, there's a skull, press B, kill him, go. You get surrounded, press Y, kick the shit out of everybody, knock them back, just pummel whoever gets close to you. Pick shit up, throw it. As long as you're generally aimed in a direction, it's going to hit them. I think the fact that it was so easy to get in there and just button mash my way through and still go through the levels and I know there's an achievement for beating it on easy without dying. And normally I would look at an achievement like that and I'd be like, fuck that. No, you could actually really easily do it because this game is that easy to just pick up and play and brutalize everybody. However, I do have a couple complaints.
Let's hear them.
Did you play the game on the X?
Yes.
Did you have any frame rate issues?
Nothing I really noticed.
Okay, so in some of the later levels, shit gets really crazy as far as there being a lot of enemies on the screen at a time. Oh my gosh, I had so many issues with just screen freezes and framiness, just everything moved sluggishly. And it was so disappointing because the whole time I had played up until I got to this specific area, it was just fast paced, press the buttons, mash and go, work your way through, stop every so often, remember that you can upgrade. Meds have kicked in. Remember that you can upgrade and then just go back to smashing the shit out of everybody. But then I got to this area, and it was such an area that was so overwhelmed with enemies that if it were moving at its normal pace, it would have been a blast because you'd just be blowing through just waves of enemies. But it was so sluggish and framey that you couldn't actually do that. And so every time you got near a room and you could see it was full of enemies, you're just like, fuck, I don't want to go in there. Because you knew it was going to slow down even more than it already had.
Yeah.
So I was really disappointed. I know the game has an arena mode. I did manage to unlock it. I'm a little concerned because I didn't have a chance to play it because I was grinding the shit out of that story. But I enjoyed the story. But I'm a little worried for how arena mode would play. Since it's basically just waves of combat, if the story alone was getting framey like that. And the arena is basically like the big add-on bonus beyond a couple of levels over the original game.
Yeah.
So, that said, everything else about it's a blast, just it could use a little more optimization.
Well, then $30 on it, what are your thoughts?
I do give it a try. I think it's a cool game. I had a lot of fun just blowing through it. You could probably knock it out fairly quickly, but if you're going to do it on the higher difficulties, you're going to struggle because some of the bosses are a little bullshit.
Yeah.
But I wish they would just go in and smooth out the rougher areas a little more.
I can understand that. I can agree with you on the try it. My biggest concern with this game is the price. I think $30 might scare a lot of people off. If this was priced at $20, I could easily give it a buy it recommendation. Yeah. I worry that the price is a little steep.
Yeah, I was a little surprised when you said $30. I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah.
But I feel like the content is there. The story is lengthy. It's just that it's poorly optimized.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well, next game to talk about is called Lost Orbit Terminal Velocity, developed and published by Pixelnauts Games, released July 16th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and Steam for $9.99. Stranded after a ship is destroyed in deep space, Harrison, a lowly maintenance worker and our hero, must struggle to find his way home. Cole, tell us about Lost Orbit.
Lost Orbit is adorable and gory at the same fucking time. Like, you just think, oh, I'm a little astronaut in space and I'm floating my way through, you know, whatever, and trying to get home and avoid the asteroids and don't go splat. And then you go splat and literally like your skeleton escapes your suit and continues flying through space. And every time you start over, there's just blood splatter and gore on whatever asteroid you slammed into, unfortunately, or whatever planet you cracked into it, and you're just like, that escalated and I am sad. Let's maybe not splat Harrison into another planet. One of my biggest surprises with Lost Orbit, and I think I said this during the interview as well, one of my biggest surprises was just how in-depth the story for this game was. You don't expect a solid plot out of a game that is basically a vertical speedrunner. Your entire purpose is fly through space fast and not die. And so there's not a lot of wiggle room for gameplay mechanics that advance a story. And yet somehow you're going through these levels and then partway through a chapter, you'll have a level that's almost entirely plot related. And you can kind of just coax through it. Not have to worry about dying a gajillion times, and you get a little bit of narrative. The dialogue between Harrison and Null is the little, they call him Atlee. Atlee Null is his name. the little like repair bot that's in space with him, their dialogue is just so rich and entertaining. And I fully expected, I was like, this is going to be one of those where it's kind of cringy or it's cheesy and generic, and you're going to just hold B and hope it gets out of the way so you can get back to the game. But it wasn't. Like, there's these full-on emotions between the characters, and it really pulls you in. And you find yourself getting to the end of this game where you're playing the levels thinking, okay, got to go fast, got to get good times, got to get all of the, I can't remember the name of the crystal again. Fuck.
The but collectible crystal.
The collectible crystal that's pink that you got to collect. As you do with collectible crystals.
Yes.
But you think, okay, you know, it's such a basic gameplay mechanic. And then all of a sudden you find yourself going through these chapters and actually giving a fuck about whether or not they get through this experience together. And their bond is so adorable. And Atlee's just like talking about how Harrison never shuts the fuck up, and he gives them all these weird stories about, you know, being human, and it's a really interesting dynamic that I just kind of fell in love with. And it can be a little emotional. If you're not a crier, you're probably not gonna give a fuck. But I'm a crier. And games will just send me to tears at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, I remember you saying that during the interview, which, and by the way, another interview we had for this game just, what, a week ago?
Yeah, yeah. And I just found myself at the end, like, holding my breath and hoping for the best. Because really, how many possible ways can a dude floating alone in space with a fixer robot end well?
True.
Okay. No spoilers. But it'll keep you on the edge of your seat if you actually pay attention to the story and you don't just try to, like, speed run the times. You might be genuinely surprised.
Nice. So your overall verdict, $10 on this one?
But I can't believe it's that cheap. It's adorable. The writing is fucking good. The gameplay is good. There are an insane number of levels. They added a fucking epilogue on top of the existing fuck ton of levels. And it's only $10.
Yeah. Gotta love it for only $10.
Trials. And the indie arcade mode. That was funny.
The indie mode. The indie cred mode.
Yeah. It was so funny.
And it's an achievement.
Yeah. And you just got to turn it on. You don't actually have to look at that mess.
Yeah, you don't have to play it that way. God, fuck that. That was so hard.
Anyway, yeah, I give it a solid butt. I had such a good time with it. I was sad when I finished it.
All right, tagging out Cole. Tim,
get out of here,
you're
here. Get out of here.
Shoo, scurry away.
Get off the apron.
Tim Ekibis, you're here. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. I had the day off from work, and I had a nice day not being at work, because fuck the man. I have been free and wild, all right? So, yeah, I'm in good spirits.
Typing away there?
Yeah, I just want to make sure. I know what's in this thing I'm about to talk about, but I just want to make sure I don't forget. Oh, man.
So, welcome to episode 500. It is a pleasure to have you on here.
What? I'm on 500?
Yes.
I made it! Woo!
You did. You made it to 500.
Made it to 500. I don't know when I started reviewing, but it was a couple hundred ago, I think. At least. It's been a while. I've been on a lot of podcasts. Back in the extract days, we stopped numbering them, so I don't know exactly how many there were, but there was definitely a few hundred there. I mean, I still make them on occasion, but we stopped numbering at like 100, I think. And yeah. Woo! 500!
I kept the numbering up. I'm debating on whether I want to drop the episode naming, because I've named 500 episodes so far, and I'm kind of running out of ideas sometimes.
Yeah, that's kind of where I got to. It was like, yeah, it was a debate. It was just like, okay, well, I kind of ran out of names, and then I think we went back to old numbering at some point, and then we were doing, or wait, no, we kept numbering them past 100, I think. And then eventually I was like, okay, we're going to do it by the date. So you know, people will know around when it came out for the news and such. And then at some point I started thinking, like, I'm going to go back to the old numbering for Triple Radio, like Marvel does with their comic books, where they just, they go back to a new number one and then they flip it back. Oh, no, that's what it was. We did like 100 of the X-Strike Studios podcast. It was called the X-Strike Studios podcast. And then we flipped over to Triple Radio and did like 150 episodes. And then we start. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I probably
just rebooting.
Yeah. Just rebooting, rebranding and doing hundreds of podcasts talking about video games like every other good middle-aged white person on the internet. Oh, I know it. I know it. I'm aware. I know what I am.
A beautiful way to put it.
Take this take. Can't find it anywhere else.
Beautiful. Fuck yeah. Anyway, should we chat about what you're here to chat about?
Yeah, we should. We should do that. That's, yeah.
All right. Next up is Pinball FX3, the Williams Pinball Volume 4 collection, developed and published by Zen Studios. It released May 28th on all platforms for Pinball FX3 for $9.99. The stunning collection of three authentic Williams tables includes Whitewater, Red and Ted's Roadshow, and Hurricane. All are available in a classic and a remastered form with a host of new features. Tim, tell us about it.
Hey, pinball, man. I love pinball.
Ooh.
We all love pinball.
We all love pinball. It was a very pinball-friendly cast podcast.
Ball squad, baby.
So, obviously I went to Anime Titty Land in search of good pinball a few weeks ago. But now we're back in the loving arms of good old fashioned American pinball. Okay, this is Pinball FX 3, from Zen Studios, right? And, full disclosure, I have been a long time hater of Zen Studios and their brand of pinball.
And why is that?
Going back to, you know, the 360 days, I was just not a fan of their physics. I don't really care for like their goofy themed table designs. But it was mostly the physics, that really turned me off. There was something about it that just never felt right. That felt cheap, did not feel good. So, you know, I had raging conversations with some folks that were like, oh no, man, Pinball FX is the shit. I'm like, yes. It is that. and I just never got into it. You know, I did get a few tables, because I do love pinball. So I got like the Star Wars pinball. I got some Marvel pinball tables, hanging around. Obviously they've been in the game for a long time. So during that time, I was all in on, Pinball Arcade from Farsight. I played a lot of that on iOS. The iPad was actually, despite not having physical buttons, was actually a pretty cool way to play pinball tables because, just the definition of the screen and you're holding it vertically. And they were releasing, you know, all these awesome reproductions of classic pinball tables, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was like the stuff that I wanted to play. So, you know, I'd pick up my pinball packs there, pick your pinball packs there, sometimes, and mostly on the iPad. They notoriously seem to have trouble like keeping up with their updates on other platforms. So last year when, you know, Zen Pinball purchased the Williams license away from them, I was a bit distraught, to say the least. I don't know if I ever mentioned it on this podcast, but I was just like, oh man, this sucks. And, you know, they assured people like, oh no, you know, we're going to work on our physics. We have more realistic physics for these tables. We're gonna do some other stuff. And I was like, okay, well, we'll see. Well, I never got around to seeing, you know, we're busy people. So anyway, here we are. This is me finally getting my dirty, grimy hands on what pinball or what Zen Studios has been doing with my beloved, Williams pinball tables, over the course of the past year. This is the fourth volume already.
Yeah, man. They've been bringing them out.
They've been getting them out. They've been doing the work a bit more frequently and getting them out there on all the platforms. And yeah, so they have, for their Williams pill. So this pack is, you know, it's, as you said, it's Whitewater, which is a pretty classic table that I think, I guess is the most, what seems like the most well-known table of this pack. Red and Ted's Roadshow and Hurricane, which is not to be confused with Whirlwind, which is what I thought it was going in. I'm like, oh, well, at least if nothing else, Whirlwind is on here, and I love that. And I'm like, oh, wait, Hurricane. No, this is a This is a different natural disaster, but similar natural disaster, but it's a totally different theme table. This one's about an amusement park. So the they have, for each table, they have kind of a version that is like the classic straightforward table. And this is probably old news for anyone who's played these tables, and you probably don't even need to listen to this anyways. If you already played these tables and you've already bought them.
Yeah, perhaps. Why are you listening to this show to begin with? What's wrong with you?
Anyways, but if you're not, you have your classic version of the table, which has the, quote, classic, this is their new physics pasted on. So the ball behaves differently. The classic version of the table, it's pretty straightforward. It's like the way that, Farsight did their tables. And they also have kind of their FX'd, kind of shined up version of the table, which has the pinball effect style physics, but also has like little polygonal flourishes to some of the characters and stuff on the table. Like one of the things they do, when you hit a bumper or something like that, the score will actually pop up off the table, and like the clown that is on the hurricane table will, it's a polygonal figure like kind of standing there 3D on the table. You lose a ball in white water and the Sasquatch laughs at you because you need that in your life. So it's that kind of like little bit of flourish that you probably have come to expect from the pinball effects games. It's not, they can only do so much with that stuff because they are basing them on real tables. So they're not going too crazy with it. But I guess if you're into that sort of stuff, it's there. It's there to, if that's what you're used to, if you find classic pinball boring, it's just not enticing enough for you. One, you're wrong, but two, this is still here for you. So, it caters to everybody. But then you have the classic version. It's just a straightforward table and you have these adjusted physics and I like them. They're good. At the end of the day, they're good physics. They have won me over with their adjusted pinball physics. And now I like a pinball effects release.
That's good to hear.
It is. It's good for me too, because I want to buy more pinball tables to play, especially on my Switch. This was reviewed on the Xbox One, but I want to buy tables on my Switch because I can turn that sideways with the flip grip.
Hell yeah, flip grip.
But yeah, the physics, I started up, I started playing, and just immediately I was like, yep, this feels good. I can work with this. This feels good. This looks good. They have a substantial number of views that you can choose from for each table. I was pretty impressed with. There's like, I think there's at least six primary, like, different view options, and then some of them have different subsets between them. Like it'll focus more on the bottom of the table, but it'll move, instead of just static at the bottom of the table. So there's a ton of different view options. That's great. The tables look really good. That physics feels good. And I should say for the record, when I did play the effectsified versions of these classic tables and felt that physics, I was like, it didn't feel as bad. Like, they clearly made some tweaks to it along the way, but there's something just about how the weight of the ball drops that just, and the way it goes off the flippers, that just doesn't feel right to me. And then it made me start thinking, like, well, wait, is this actually more realistic in the way that it drops, and it just doesn't feel good when it's made into a video game, and I'm actually wrong? But I pushed those thoughts away and said, no, that's fine. So yeah, but the tables you got here, to talk about them a little bit, Whitewater, Red and Ted's Roadshow, and Hurricane are all cool tables. I hadn't played Red and Ted's Roadshow before at all, ever. It's kind of like you've ever played Funhouse, which has the kind of a ventriloquist kid head up there that talks smack at you. It has two of those. And I will say that, the style of pinball table, which there is many, where the table talks shit to you, not my favorite thing in the world, especially when it's coming from two of these things. But I like, there is a lot of stuff to do on that table. There's like 18 different little quest things to do. And pretty cool and pretty robust right there. So that's fun to play right there. Hurricane is a bit... That's the simplest one of the ones on this in this particular pack. It's kind of just has like the classic amusement park theme, but it's still, you know, it's a nice fun table. Yeah, Whitewater is also good, and I'm trying to get a picture of it in front of me so I know what it looks like. Yeah, no, they're good tables. They look great. They have good options. The physics feels good. It's a good solid pack of tables. It's really, yeah. Red and Ted's Roadshow was a nice surprise. That was the one I was kind of like eh about, but turned out to be actually pretty good. Pretty darn good.
I will have to check that one out myself. But overall, yeah. The package, $10 for all three tables. What do you say?
Yeah. That's a buy it right there. And for folks that have maybe not gotten on the Pinball Effects Williams train yet, I think, it's time to indulge. You know, it's time to look into a bit closer and see what they're doing, you know? They've won me over. I'm going to be giving them money. That's nice. What's about to happen here. Yeah. That's the long and short of it.
Good to hear they won you over.
Yeah, I'm glad too. I didn't want there to be no option for cool new pinball tables. I just wish they, you know, it seems like looking over their packs, they're focusing a bit on things that Farsight didn't do yet, which is good. But also, there's a lot of classic tables that I would like to have to play on my Switch.
Oh, like, yeah.
I don't think they've done Pinbot yet, and I want me some Pinbot. That's one of my, if not my favorite table of all time.
Well, I can only imagine they'll keep bringing out more tables.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm interested in this.
Awesome. Good to hear. Well, Tim, we are going to move on. Thank you, as always, for coming on and joining us. Do you have any final words?
I do. Just on the subject of pinball, today I was at the Strong Museum of Play in Rochester, and I had the pleasure of playing a Sternbin pinball table from last year based on Deadpool. And,
oh, nice.
Oh, it's a really cool table. Stern is doing this thing now where they're putting like a color monitor in the back glass, so... Part of the gimmick of this was Deadpool fighting other things, which included like Sabretooth, Mystique, you know, like mutants, but also Megalodon and a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And so those like show up in like 16-bit graphics on the LCD, and you see like Deadpool playing like a pinball machine and like getting attacked by ninjas, and just the whole table was like really cool and really well designed. And it just made me happy that you know, Stern is still out there putting out tables, and man, I would love to see some of that new stuff adapted onto the digital form.
Well, you'd have to hit up Farsight for that.
Yeah. Farsight, do it. I imagine they're not going to do those more modern tables yet. It's like some license on freaking Star Wars and Marvel. Like that comes with a lot of, well, that comes with Disney, having to deal with Disney for both of those Our freaking world is a capitalistic nightmare. All right.
Final game to talk about is called Decay, developed and published by Shining Gate Software, released July 26th on Xbox One for $19.99. The much-appreciated Xbox Live indie game classic is coming to Xbox One. All four parts in one complete package. Solve the dark mystery and face the challenges in this psychological thriller adventure. The story has multiple endings based on how you play the game. Cole, how is Decay?
Decay is a point-and-click horror game, and... Initially, when I started playing it, I thought, what is the horror game with the guy with the fish head? Started with a D as well.
Dying? Reborn?
Yes. And everybody made fun of Dying Reborn, but I actually really liked it, and I thought the ending was cool. There was, like, the good ending was cool. The other ending was such bullshit and just made me mad. But... if you've played that, you've got a general idea of how Decay is going to play, because it's that point-and-click horror. It's very similar. It's got that same gritty, kind of cheap texture. I mean, it's a 360 game that's been beefed up just a little for the Xbox One. The best aspect of it is that it's all four parts crammed into one.
Yeah.
So you don't have to wait. And that's the terrible part when these kind of games release initially is that, like, they come out in spurts and then, like, there's the to be continued screen.
Yeah.
And those are still in the game from part to part. And then I would get so mad and I'd be like, oh, wait, never mind. It's just unlocked part two. I'm good. I was so mad the first time it popped it up. I was like, don't you dare do this to me. I do not want to wait. So the game does have some cheap jump scares, as most point and click horror games do. But it also has a lot of puzzles. Solving puzzles under the threat of some kind of horrible ghost or something possibly coming after you is quite unnerving. These are not the kind of games, like, I didn't find Dying Reborn scary. I didn't find Decay scary, per se. It was just, there was, like, this overwhelming sense of dread and discomfort playing it. Which is a good way to play a horror game, honestly. Like, yeah. If a horror game makes you feel uncomfortable, it's doing its job.
Yeah, mission accomplished.
Not every game needs to literally make you fear pee to be scary. Sometimes it just needs to make you feel like, you know, every time you're going to click on something and you're like, do I really want to push that button? If I turn that picture frame and something jumps out at me, am I going to be upset at that? And then you think, yes, I am. And then you click it anyway. And then something jumps out at you. And then you're like, I knew it. I had a surprisingly good time with it. I don't think the puzzles in this are anything that is so difficult to figure out that you're going to get frustrated or stumped. And there's not really, just like in Dying Reborn or whatever, there's not an overwhelming sense of, I'm going to die and I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Like, even if you mess up, you just keep coming back where you were. So it's not the end of the world. I need to shut up. We got bits.
Yes, we just got 100 biddies from Ford Racing. So thank you, George, for...
dropping bits!
Yeah. Anyway, DK.
Yeah. but yeah, it's plenty easy enough to just, like, go through and explore it. You'll want to play it more than once because it does have two different endings, just like Dying Reborn did. I don't think these have the same devs, but they were very similar in gameplay. I was really kind of surprised by that, but, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I did a horrible thing and, like, played it at, like, 3 a.m. with the lights off.
Oh, no.
And I don't think that helped my sense of dread any. I really didn't want to click on, like, oh, I don't want to push that floor on the elevator now that there are bloody handprints pointing at it.
Oh, Jesus.
You don't want to push that button anymore. Or, oh, I don't want to open that lock because something is going to jump out at me. Mika said I'm a puss, but I'm really not. That's the interesting thing. Like, I'm not genuinely scared by this kind of game. Now, there are, like, layers of fear too, and layers of fear genuinely got me and scared me a few times. Emily wants to play with the jump scares, get you in the beginning, but you get used to it. But this never quite scared me so much as it just left me uncomfortable. So it's, I fear pee to most stuff. I've had kids. I pee to most stuff anyway. I'm always one good sneeze from disaster. So that's not. That's not. It's not a good metric.
One good sneeze from disaster. Holy shit. Oh, but, you know, Lord.
Like, if you're afraid of creepy dolls, you're probably going to be like, ah! A few times in this game. Otherwise, I'm just like, shit, where'd that little fucker go? He's going to go Chucky on me. You know, I'm not jumping out of my skin. I'm just like, oh, this motherfucker going to try to scare me. But I had a good time with it anyway. And like I said, the puzzles were really solid. I was genuinely impressed by them.
Well, then overall, $20, what do you think?
20 is, it's a little high. I still give it a really recommended try it. It's an easy completion, and there are guides out there if you're into that sort of thing. Even without guides, you can work through it without a whole lot of effort. I would think if you look at it as like a cost to time kind of thing, like the time to play compared to cost.
Yeah.
Playing it without a guide would definitely give you more of your money's worth because it will take you longer, obviously. But if you're just looking to like blow through for achievements, you can do that. Have fun with it, and maybe the doll will make you fear pee.
Sounds good.
Because the guides don't tell you that the creepy little doll is going to get you.
Oh, man. Well, that is it for this episode. Oh, man. It's been a fun one.
We did it. And it's funny because you said from 9 to 11, and it is 4 to 11.
Yeah. So I said about 2 hours, and you add in Tim's review. We're a little over 2 hours, but it was good. It was good. I'm glad Tim made it to say hi. I'm glad you were here. I'm glad Adam and Mike were here. It was always amazing having those guys on the show. So, and thank you for being here. I wouldn't have made it to 500 without you, and that is for certain.
We're going to do 500 more.
I was going to say at least seven.
We're getting started. We're just cracking the egg. We haven't even made the omelet yet.
You're scaring people.
I'm full of metaphors today.
But yeah, that is it for this episode. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out and listening to us. We're going to play a couple of songs from some of our favorite SML artists that we feature over the years, like Viking Guitar and the One-Ups and Stemage and Lonely Rolling Stars. So we're going to play a handful of good stuff, probably more than usual, just to enjoy the moment. And Cole, do you have any final words to end the show?
Well, I guess I should say thank you for being here too, Mika, because she was offended. But fuck Carnage.
Oh, yeah. That's 7 whole pancakes right there, baby. Dropping fucking syrup. Oh, yeah. Lucky number 7. Oh, shit. Oh, hang on. I got some butter in my beard. Leftovers. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.